Buenos días. ¿Cómo están? Se ven bien. So like Pastor Dave was saying, we do really feel like we're family. So that has its advantages as far as sharing as well. I don't feel like I have to really introduce ourselves and say the details of what we do. We're just going to jump in with an update from last summer to this summer, and if anybody has any questions, they can ask them later, I guess, or to somebody else. So another thing I just wanted to let you know that I may take a little bit of storytelling liberty with some of what I say. It's a Dominican thing. So the accuracy isn't always as important as the fun of telling a story. So that might come into play in a couple things. Just is that like the little clause that you have to put in little letters or something? And this year, we are going to focus on, there was just a lot that happened, and to squish it into a little bit of time. So we're going to focus on just the goodness of God. I mean, he's good no matter what we're going through, I get it. But like just all the stuff that happened, it's not to minimize the fact that there were difficult times and that we went through a lot of stuff, but we're not going to focus on that. We're just going to focus on the people that came down. We really are a body, and we felt that this year in so many ways. We went to the airport 11 times and picked up 57 people. So there were just a lot of people. And I know you can get tired of working with people, but I also think that is what God has called us to. I think especially our family knows that that is what God has called us to work with people. And we felt God's presence with us because of you guys, because of people coming to support us. God was with us along the way. So we're hoping that you can see God in this story as well. So just starting out, how things have changed for our family. The tallest one is now her. So we've had to adapt to that a little bit. She's wearing heels, so she can look a little taller. And with the girls growing up, just experiencing that, Ruby getting a motorcycle, and the girls' birthdays, Ruby turning 18, what that means for our family. And also, the girls say that we're getting old, and they're a little concerned about our sanity. So I put that picture on to say, we're good, right? We're good. We know. I don't know if we'd know if we weren't, but they keep telling us that we're. The bag on his head, that's for the rain. it keeps the rain off the hair, so it's good. Something that was really neat and was only this year is that I had both the girls out there at the high school with us, so I got to teach both of them the activities. I focus on the high school, so the activities were for both of them, and they got to participate in all the fun days together. And Amber, of course, her favorite thing is food, so she's decorating a cupcake there. And Ruby with her friends, just having a lot of fun hanging out with them and being crazy and bringing a lot of life into our school. So that one of the things I've shared over the years is just trying to keep people in school for high school. We say the guys, but also the girls, just trying to come up with crazy and fun activities to keep people coming, as well as the academic, obviously. But the four of us all play volleyball still, and the girls are pretty good. And so we got uniforms this last year. Ruby designed them, and we enjoy playing several times a week. So the high school group of kids, and then our small group of teachers. We did not have enough teachers this past year, but I'm really grateful to the group that was there. They took on extra classes, and especially when I couldn't be there for going to get groups and stuff, they really stepped up, and they had wonderful attitudes, which goes a long way in making the school year much better for all of us. So as you can see, that's the group of our employees. And they're all girls. We have one guy, Joel. He's the one taking the picture. So I should have gotten him in there. But you can also see that we have the three in the front that don't have the uniform. That's because they're students. So Ruby, along with the three of them, helped us out with, they each took a class this past year to fill in the gaps. Mostly math and also some English classes they helped with. This is my Hall of Fame group of kids. Just really proud of them. They're 10th through 12th graders, and they were anybody who came down this year knows them. They were my new group of hope for the future, and just filled in with all the groups, were real troopers, did lots of work. And also, a lot of them have improved, especially the girls, have improved in their English enough that relationships were made. Really neat to see, because that is one of the main goals we have down there. So then, yeah, some of the 10th, 11th, and 12th graders help teach some of the classes. So this is, one of them is teaching the guida, the cheese grater thing that people hear David play sometimes, and also one of the drums. But that was all student-led. We didn't have outside teachers coming in for that. And then you guys made a lot of desserts this year. Kept us all nice and well-fed. Ruby has always enjoyed the arts in class, the arts and crafts class, and this year they focused a lot on food.
We had a lot of people go down, even though they weren't teachers, they gave us some special classes, and one of them being the bees, Mike started a small honey business. And he taught us about like the different types of bees and what they all do and how it relates to our spiritual life. Mm-hmm.
And that's Kevin in the middle with a suit that fits him. There was a bet, and I didn't put the picture up there, but he got into that orange one. Mike was involved in that, so if you know Mike. The two Dominicans then, Randy and Joel, have been filling up small bottles of honey and selling them locally, and actually some of them make it to the Capitol as well and other places. So that's an interesting new project that's going on for us.
We had many people talk about what they do here in the States and like about their story and just what they do for a living. And the kids are very interested, especially in the pictures, just seeing all the machinery that people use. And yeah, just seeing how a lot of them did not expect to do what they are doing now. And a lot of them mentioned how important school is in their life.
Mm-hmm. Even if they didn't like school at the time, many of them mentioned that, you know, after you get a little older, you do recognize its value, so that was neat.
A special class was sewing. It was pretty difficult at the beginning. There was string in places I did not know you could stick stuff in, and there was pieces that went missing that there was... It was a mess. But yeah, I was like saying we have to pray for our teacher because she is not going to
come back.
Make it. Yeah. But we learned, and yeah, it was really fun. We were able to combine that with our dance teacher. She taught us some ballet, so we were able to combine those two together. We made the skirts and the bows for a song that we did on our night of joy. And then the high school girls were able to go down to the elementary and teach the younger girls some ballet. Yes.
It's kind of hard to tell in that picture with all the shadows, but there's a whole bunch of little girls with chairs, standing there with the chairs, and the older girls are helping them ballet. We also had, you know, the North Americans that came down, helped with English class. This is one of them. We're talking about some of the people that specifically taught something, but I wanted to also just remember all the people who came and loved on the kids and on the people. You don't have to have a specific skill that you're going to share, but Evelyn was just loving being with the little kids and putting puzzles together with them and talking with them, or at least trying to talk with them, you know. But it was it's not always about the specific skills you have. It's just about showing how much love Jesus has for us and sharing that with them. So you gotta have some cute little kids too. I don't go down to the elementary school much anymore, so most of the pictures are going to be from the high school.
Something fun was all the crafts we were able to do. We had a lot of materials. And especially for the guys, because past years, the guys could not do anything that would take more than 3 minutes to make. So anything that is small or that took some concentration, like putting beads together or even just bracelets, it would take too long. They were not interested. But this past year, they made some impressive things. I was surprised on they stuck with it, even 3 days worth of stuff. And one of those being Legos. I love Legos.
Love.
And they had never done Legos before just because they weren't going to be able to stick at it. Like, if they saw all those pieces all at the same time, they're like, there's no way we know how to do that. And so I was like, well, we're going to try it. And I put them in groups, and they just loved it. After they made it, they were opening everything that could be opened, and they were pretending to shoot me with the water from the, what is it?
The fire engine?
Yeah, hose. From that. And I was like, okay. But it was really fun to see them enjoy that so much.
We also, of course, Paul was there, and so we had to play hockey. We always have to play hockey there in our new gym. And also Neil came down, and partly to prove that golf isn't as easy as all the Dominicans thought. They've never played golf, but they just figured, hey, you're swinging a bat. It shouldn't be that hard. They grow up doing
that.
They
found out quickly they it did. Was harder than they thought.
Yes. So Braulio actually was out there for that as well, and they found out it wasn't as easy as it looked. And also some soccer. And then a new game was pickleball this year. And Amber loves pickleball and is always trying to find anybody who will play with her. And the group that was down, we actually made a tournament and had a good mix of North Americans, Dominicans all playing together. And it was really fun to enjoy that together. And then, of course, we always go out to the fields. Sorry, I don't have very many pictures of out in the fields, but we go out just to support what David does out there. Always go look at his 99 sheep and see how they're doing. And he's always building new, I know, we're still looking for the last one, building new cages and better ways to feed them and coming up with new ideas, as well as with the plantains and bananas, continuing to work with those products to feed the kids for breakfast and lunch. The girls were more interested in the flowers that were out there. Surprise, surprise. And Amber's group was more interested in the mangoes. So, yeah, there's just some big mangoes. They're not ripe, but... of course, a day at the beach to enjoy God's creation. And it's always a fun time for the group and the Dominicans to be able to spend some time hanging out. I also have that picture on there. Sam does not have hair like that. That's seaweed. And the guy with him, Roberto, I have him on there because he's one of the special kids in my heart who's from La Mayita and I thought he was going to drop out. He wasn't interested in continuing school. He realized he could make money if he started working, and so we really weren't sure if he was coming this past year or not. And it was amazing to see the transformation in him. He accepted Christ, and he doesn't stop smiling now. He never smiled before. Like, that was some of the group. Mike was one of them that was like, other years, he's like, I want to make him smile. And he just was hard and didn't talk much or anything, and just the transformation, it's amazing. So then Kevin had a chat with me, and he said, you know, we really should stop having so much fun. Like, everybody's hanging out and just going to the beach and having so much fun, so there's a lot of work that needs done, and we have very little time, so we probably should get working. So Paul was like, yeah, I'm game. I'm always up for work. Chad wasn't so sure. He thought he had to think about it for a little while. Lisa grabbed a shovel. She's like, sure, I'll work. So Chad was like, well, then I don't have a choice, but I'll point everybody in the right direction. So we started out with this big pile of dirt. Anybody who's been down there knows it's fun to work with dirt. Lots of dirt, filling in what's called the Oasis now, a place, a comfortable place for North Americans to come and stay. And then the steel just started rolling in, and it was, we'd get a call in the evening, truck showed up. I'm like, come on, girls, let's go. So steel, tons of steel. Yeah. Lots of steel. Everything you could do with steel, we did it. Moved it, cleaned it, moved it, painted it, moved it.
Painted it again.
Painted it again. Welded it, cut it. And then, finally, after all of that movement, started putting it up to build the Airnasium. Eric Uyter made that miracle happen as far as just that it was even feasible to do it. And started building the guys that were down there. We had some guys from here that were down there, too. They just put the steel up, put the tin up, and put the lights in, and there it was. It was quite the feat. And it's interesting, I don't have the picture, but some of them do. They took a picture from, like, in town, and you can see the glow of the, I don't know, it reminds me of the light on the hill. And just a neat thing. Definitely caught our town's attention. We have lots of people wanting to come and know about that. So then, the next building, doing for the high school, doing our more of a vo-tech class areas and cafeteria, rebar and welding and tying rebar and lots of rebar. And like I said, this was the group that did it.
We can tie rebar with our eyes closed now.
yes. Lots of rebar. So we did the first story and then worked at the roof. Kevin put Ruby in charge of, instead of just tying rebar, put her in charge of actually measuring and finding out how all the rebar has to tie in. So that was neat. Tying rebar, and Kevin making sure Paul does know how to still do steps. He wasn't, you know, giving some pointers there. Paul always has to do steps. And then the second story, and that's about where it is now. They're plastering while we're here in the States. So I'm hoping to be able to use at least one of those rooms for my math class or something when we go back. And then painting and just the girls kept at it. The guys too, but the girls were definitely, they were in everything. This is just an example of one of the rooms at our Oasis, just a nice place to be able to stay. Out in La Mayita, David continues to go out there every week. And so we started a building. The hope is he wants to do some new Christian classes out there and also teaching the adults to read. They're illiterate. So, and then we're going ahead and building them in such a way that they will eventually be elementary classrooms out there. That's our hope for out there. We also took Ramon's house, tore down, and built that for their family. And
we helped with we did the electrical work and the painting in the entire house.
And then you get to have a pajama party there, too.
Yes.
So they're grateful for the extra space. All the while we taught, I still do my math classes, and Ruby did math class, and David, of course, with church, and also he teaches an agricultural class at our school as well. Right at the end, toward the end of the year, we had the sixth graders wanted to come out and see what they would be coming to. They were all excited to meet the big high schoolers. So they'll be coming out next year, and we had them out, and they played some games. We paired them up with the high schoolers, and they're so excited to come out to our area out there and be big kids. So that was about enough. We were a little tired after all that and thought maybe it was the end, but no. It was May, and we decided to do a junior-senior trip to Jarabacoa, which is a very mountainous area. It's the complete opposite side of the Dominican, very different agriculture and just climate and everything. I don't know. You want to say anything about that trip?
They learned about getting showers with hot water.
That was a first. That was a first.
Yeah, this side is cold water, this side is hot water, so be careful.
Yeah. It was just good to hang out with a small group and get to experience a different part. part of the town that, or part of the country that they wouldn't otherwise get a chance to. And then we had a farewell supper for our graduating class, and then we graduated.
For me, it was really cool to see the impact not only in our school but in the town. Like, we had so many people commenting on, oh, you guys are graduating, we're so excited, and they were, like, so emotional, and I did not expect just random people to be so emotional about us graduating, and it was great to see that it impacted so many people, and I was told I need to say what I'm planning to do.
I'm planning
to go back and teach math, surprise, surprise. I'd like to do some special classes like art and Bible, but yeah, wherever I'm needed pretty much.
Yes. And Janaudi, who graduated as well, that is her plan to come and teach at our school as well. So it's a huge thing for us to be able to just look at that. And you know that working for God, you're not necessarily doing it for the results. You're doing it to be faithful and to show obedience and all that. You know that in your head, but it sure is nice to have some results sometimes to just say, okay, that's something that was really exciting. Like she said, that the town really, it's almost like they were like, oh, wow, like, really? You guys have kids that are graduating? It's like, yeah, we've been doing this for a while, and so it was neat to be able to have something to show for it. And I just I felt this way at graduation. It's way so many people to thank. Like, you just don't even know where to start. So many of you that have come down, have supported us here, and I really felt it this year, just grateful for everybody who has joined in our family to make this a possibility. So thank you.
So as the worship team comes forward, feel free to stand as we do some more worshiping. And while we are worshiping, I will be coming around. And if you need bread and grape juice, just raise your hand and I'll make sure you get it. Let's stand as we continue to worship.
Lamb of God, anointed one. who was and is and is to come, seated on the throne above. Holy, holy, righteous one who shed his blood. You proved to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up. Holy, holy, Lamb of God, anointed one, who was and is to come, seated on the throne above. Holy, holy, righteous one who shed his blood. You proved to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ, he lifted up.
I am not alone. There's a stone I'm built on. There's a love that will never let me go. He hears my every cry. He knows how to understand me. He is my one defense day and night. I rest my soul on the rock of the ages, oh. And my feet stand firm on a sure foundation, oh. All my hope in this salvation, oh. Jesus, Jesus, rock of ages, cornerstone, the one for all generations. Pray that I would hide myself in you. Through every trial and storm, when all else is sinking, there is none so faithful and so true. Sure foundation.
Well, good morning. We've come to the time for our communion this morning. And I was thinking this past week, you know, Jesus came to show us how to live, but his main goal was to die. Jesus came to die. And so we want to commemorate that this morning. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. I just thank you for each one who is here this morning. And God, we just thank you that you loved us enough to send your son to die, to be a blood sacrifice for our sins. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." So at this time, let's partake prayerfully of the bread and the cup. At the end of the service, you could just pass trash to the center and we'll collect it. I wanted to share just a few thoughts this morning. Numbers game. I'm not one to play really a numbers game. I'm not talking about the lottery. I'm talking about numbers and making them fit what you want them to fit, and there's a lot of people that do that. But I thought I needed to share my story this morning of something that happened to me a few weeks ago. Growing up in our little church in Jessup, Maryland, we sang hymns all the time. We didn't have a worship team like we do here at Mercersburg Mennonite Church. So we had two books that we sang out of. One was a skinnier brown book called the Life Songs, and then we had a thicker black book called the Christian Hymnal. And so even to this day, when I see certain numbers, my mind goes to the page number of the hymn of the Christian Hymnal. For instance, if I see the number 25, I think, Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. It just sticks. And for the rest of the day, I'll sing that hymn. If you're laying in bed at night and you wake up early in the morning and you roll over like I do, you grab your phone that's been sitting on the table beside you, and you look at it, and it says 6:06 a.m. What do you think about? Am I the only one? Praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? The Mennonite National Anthem, right? Well, about 4 weeks ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and I grabbed my phone and I looked to see what time it was, and it said 3:14 a.m. Right away, my mind went to All I Need. That was the hymn in that book. Jesus Christ has made to me all I need, all I need. I thought to myself, that would be good to mention in the praise service that's coming up in a month today, that Jesus is all we need. And then I thought, well, I should come up with something else to say, because that's not a whole lot, and I should come up with like a short sermon or something. It seems like to say Jesus is all we need is not enough. So I came up with a little tiny sermon from the book of Deuteronomy, but something just didn't seem right, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, don't give it. For a couple of weeks, I struggled with what to say. Last Friday, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, I was in the house. I put my phone in the living room area that we have there on the ledge by the window. I went into the kitchen, sat down at the kitchen table, and still struggling with what to give. And nothing seemed right. So I said, you know what? I'm going to start praying and ask the Lord, what should I give? So I started praying. And I don't know how long I was praying. It was in the afternoon. I had no idea what time it was. And I stopped praying and I said, you know what? I'm going to take a break. I'm tired. I don't know what to give. I'm just going to take a break. Went into the other room, grabbed my phone, looked at the screen, and said 3:14. Coincidence? I don't think so. So I'd like to read the words to that hymn. It says, Jesus Christ has made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. The refrain says, wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure, he is all I need. He redeemed me when he died. All I need, all I need. I with him was crucified. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure, he is all I need. To my Savior will I cleave, all I need, all I need. He will not his servant leave, he is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure, he is all I need. He's the treasure of my soul. All I need, all I need. He hath cleansed and made me whole. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure. He is all I need. The verse that corresponds with that hymn at the top of the page is Colossians 3, verse 11. And I'd like to read the first 11 verses. If you pull out the Bible in front of you, it's page 1068. Colossians 3, 1 through 11. Page 1068. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you, having nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. You know, this verse 5, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. You know, Paul's talking to Christians here. We all struggle. We have these two natures. But this morning, if you're struggling with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, being greedy, anger, rage, malicious behavior, wanting to harm someone or wish evil on them, slander, saying something false about a person in order to hurt their reputation, dirty language, or lying. If you are struggling with any of these sins listed as a believer, remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. David Jeremiah gives a poem, and many of you have probably seen it. He says, two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate. The one I feed will dominate. My question is, are we feeding in God's word this morning? Jesus Christ has made to me all I need, all I need. Zach.
As we sing this last song, if you wouldn't mind standing in Jeremiah and
to die, I
shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart?